Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is 4 o'clock on Tuesday, November 18th. What does it all mean? It's a deadline in Major League Baseball. There's a lot of little deadlines throughout an offseason. The deadline right now, 4 o'clock, November 18th. Is the qualifying offer deadline. So all the players that were made the qualifying offer, soon to be free agents, they could either accept the qualifying offer, which means they go back to their team on a one-year $22 million deal and will not get the qualifying offer next year because you only can get it once, or you decline it, you become a free agent, and then the team that loses you gets a draft pick, and the team that signs you has to give up a draft pick. So for a case like Edwin Diaz, he's obviously rejecting the qualifying offer. It's a waste of time to talk about. But for Trent Grisham, it was fascinating. I remember when the Yankees had to make the decision on Trent a week and a half ago or 2.5 weeks ago. You were off that day. Me and Sean were on the air. And I was like, dude, I'd offer it to him. Because the thought being, if he accepts it, great. I have him on a one-year make-good contract. If he says no, great. I get a draft pick. Mm-hmm. We have the answer on Trent Grisham's decision. So let's go to the Trent Grisham decision desk with Sean Morash. Sean, what is Trent's decision?
Trent Grisham has accepted the Yankees' offer to remain a Yankee for the 2026 season.
And you don't sound very enthused about this, Sean.
I'm not enthused.
Why?
Because when you play with fire, you get burned. And Trent
What's
Grisham
that mean? He's not fire.
Trent Grisham had
he was fire at times during the season.
He was.
It was kind of awesome. But
Trent Grisham was an extremely useful, important piece of the 2025 Yankees, period, stop. I'll thank him for that. Look, he owes nobody an apology for that. Trent Grisham knew what we all knew, which was that is likely an aberration. And if he's backing it up, he's going to go try to prove it in year two. My issue here is with the Yankees. You were reluctant to move a guy like Spencer Jones. They're even Jason Dominguez. And the Yankees, their history tells you when they are paying a guy premium money, even for 1 year, they refuse to sit a guy like that. They will run him out there and give him every last opportunity. And maybe Trent Grisham goes and replicates that year. But by replicating that year, you're again blocking what you have in youth yet another season. And that's what angers me. And even if he doesn't replicate the year, they're going to give him every last opportunity because they're paying him to do that. And all for a draft pick. All because you want to get a draft pick back. I'm angry. I'm flabbergasted. And more importantly, the more my wheels are turning here, I blame you, Evan Roberts.
What did
I blame
that do?
You. And I'm going to say something hurtful to you right now that I'm going to regret in 10 minutes, but you're a low-life piece of garbage for what you did.
What did you do, Evan?
Because the general manager of the Yankees didn't have a single damn thought about giving Trent Grisham the qualifying offer until he joined us on Evan and Tiki when it was me and Evan that day. And Evan uttered the words, hey, Cash, one more before we get through. You're going to offer that qualifying offer? And Cashman's reaction was immediately, that's a good question.
Yeah, you think he'd never thought of that?
I think that Evan put the wheels in motion to have this whole thing happen. It's your fault. It's the Yankees' fault. And now guess what? Spencer Jones, I hope you have a nice condo in Scranton, okay? Because you ain't seeing this place anytime soon.
The Yankees made the right decision. I'm going to tell you right now, and I said that 2 weeks. They absolutely made the right decision.
Because you're still trying to win right now. You're still trying to put yourself in position to get to the World Series. And as good as Spencer Jones could potentially be, you have no idea what Spencer Jones is going to be at all. So,
Again, I'm fine with that, but I would rather added a depth fourth outfielder piece and tested that than be because you just know. You know they're going to play him every day.
I'm going to make you feel better. I'm going to make you feel better. Because the reason this was the right decision to make was you had two columns. Column A was Trent Grisham leaves, mm-hmm. you get a draft pick, fantastic. Or column B is what happened, he says yes.
Right.
So we'll throw column A away, I would have been good with that, it didn't happen. Let's move to column B. Trent Grisham is back on a one-year, $22 million deal. It's a good thing, Sean, and I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead, tell me why.
Number one, they can trade him.
Mm. Well, that's a different story.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Because who's trading for him?
Oh, great. Thank you for asking that. So a few days ago, I did what we call a Rico Bronya deep dive into free agents. And so obviously with a Met lens, we spoke about Trent Grisham. And I'll tell you what Rico Evans said. Rico Evans said, I wouldn't mind this guy on my team if I didn't have to give up a draft pick. The draft pick was kryptonite to me. If I could get him on a one-year deal, I got no issue with it. It's a one-year deal. I got nothing to lose. And I don't even love Trent Grisham as a ballplayer. So I think there will be teams out there, maybe the Mets, but certainly others, who look at Trent Grisham off of a career season as a 29-year-old and say, I take him for a year.
Do you think teams look at it that way, though?
Yes. Yes. Teams are not giving up draft picks for Trent
Grisham. No. I mean, for a guy like Trent Grisham, they're going to say, we don't value him at $22 million, but because we can get him for a year expiring, so to speak, and not have to worry about the draft pick, that now he's more valuable?
I think he can be more valuable, yeah. Because A, I'm not giving you anything up, so I want to make it clear, I don't think you're getting a great return from the Mets or another team.
Hold on.
Let me finish my point. I want to convince you.
Okay.
Don't just throw needles into it.
Mm-hmm. Needles.
Poke holes in it.
Cold water in it.
I think there will be teams who look at Grisham on a one-year deal with no draft pick attachment and getting him for a song and say, okay, I'd be interested. So if you really hate the contract so much and the offseason will dictate how Brian Cashman feels about Grisham being here, then you could always move him. Let's say you don't move him. He's coming off a year that we'd all agree was good. He had 34 home runs.
And he's always a good defender.
I think he's an average defender, but sure. Right, I'll give you that.
He's a smooth defender.
Smooth defender. Put you to sleep, as Boone would say.
He's not egregious out there.
No, he's not egregious. He's in another contract year. So you got another, hey, Trent, go prove it kind of year, where I'd feel better about him than giving him a five-year contract and expecting him to have a big year. So I've got two options now that I don't think are awful. One is he's on my team. It should not impact what I do in terms of Bellinger or Tucker. And based on the decisions I make and based on how even Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones look in spring training, I could always pivot by selling the player off, or I could say, oh, he's a useful player. I'll hold on to him. It's not that bad of a thing. Mm. You're over-exaggerating having Grisham back on a one-year deal as some kind of kryptonite.
No. It's not. I don't think it's kryptonite because I think most Yankee fans will think he is a good player. Well, they know he's a good player because what he did last year. For most part, he kind of disappeared when it got down to the postseason, but he's a good player. You know that. For Sean, it's not about Trent Grisham at all. It's about being a roadblock to a younger player who you want to see some time with.
I don't think he will be.
No.
I disagree with you. I think if those guys prove they can play, they're going to play. If they're here.
No. You don't know the Yankees. I don't know the Yankees.
I'm talking about this situation right now.
No. Tiki nailed it. Okay, the ramifications of this, and I mentioned Spencer Jones because he's like the next domino.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to Jason Dominguez, who I firmly believe last year, the Yankees, say whatever you want. Yeah, they were in a position trying to win a World Series where the best man had to play. But as a result, Jason Dominguez was not allowed to develop on an everyday basis. They just ripped it off, and they wouldn't let him figure it out on both sides of the plate because they were winning games and Grisham played great. Now, if you bring in Tucker or it's Bellinger, your outfield on opening day, if you don't move Grisham, is Grisham, Judge, and that other guy. So forget Spencer Jones, who I brought up. He's blocked because Dominguez is already there. Now you want to tell me they trade Jason Dominguez? Maybe that's the case. But again, you could have done this a year, 2 years ago when you were trying to win a World Series. The Yankees' refusal to move some of these young guys in past years when you were trying to win a World Series to make their team better at the deadline is not jiving with their decisions now when they're worried about draft picks. It's all a connection that I think is all over the place. Now, where I'm kind of lost in this, and I will lean on you, Mr. Rico, to tell me this, is teams would be reluctant to give...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Up a draft pick for Trent Grisham. I'm going to speak out loudly and sound like an idiot. Wasn't this a fourth-round draft pick?
Doesn't matter. Okay. Well, it's different for each team. It depends on where you are in terms of taxpaying money.
Okay.
So for the Mets, it would be different than maybe another team.
Why'd you say this to say...
Either way, you're giving up draft capital, which I don't think was going to... I thought it was going to hurt Grisham's value, much like it was going to hurt Gleyber Torres' value, who just accepted his qualifying offer.
But isn't in March a prospect or two that's not a high prospect still, in essence, the same thing? You're giving up
a
draft pick.
You're not trading a high prospect. I want you to get off that first.
But that draft pick is probably not a high prospect either.
Well, you don't know. It's a player you select. Sometimes...
So are the guys in the prospect. Prospects you have.
No, that's
it's the same
different thing.
They're real life draft picks.
No. The draft pick is who you select and could very well become a top 100 prospect. We see it all the time.
Right.
The player that you would end up getting for Trent Grisham in some kind of trade, by the way, may not be a prospect. It may be a major leaguer who also makes money. It may just be a different need for your team. I mean, maybe you match up with a team who says, you know what? I got to get rid of $17 million for this starting pitcher I really don't want.
Right.
And then you end up matching up that way. My point is you can trade him. It is not a certainty that Trent Grisham is going to be on the team on opening day. But acting like this is some devastating news, I think you're being a very Big Macian the way he was to the Cam Scottaboo news. You're making a big deal out of something that's not a big deal.
I'm making a big deal because I followed the Yankees long enough to know what happens next. And what happens next is him playing, going through some kind of struggles, and him continuing to play because you have to justify the fact that you're paying him over $20 million this year. All in doing so, biting your nose to spite your face on young guys that you've hyped up that are now another year kind of getting killed in their growth.
I don't think they would do that to a guy on a one-year deal. So I think if we get
as far... Oh, they wouldn't? Do you remember Alex Verdugo on a one-year deal while Jason Dominguez sat there and came back?
I don't think
they wouldn't.
I don't think they believed that Jason Dominguez was ready. I think that situation is different. I'm being honest with you.
Okay.
Plus, I think they thought that the plus that Verdugo gave them defensively made them better. Like, you don't have to agree with the baseball reasons.
But that's the reason they're going to play Grisham this year. No. They're going to agree with his defense. They're going to say he's not ready, and he's not ready because you're not letting him grow because you keep cutting guys at Grisham.
Sean, if they believe he's the best option to play every day, he'll play every day. If they don't, which is what I think you're arguing,
and
then he won't.
And eat the 22.
Not even eat the 22, but not play him every single day. Yeah. I think that there were two situations that both weren't bad things. One was you get a draft pick. The other was you bring a player back off a career year on another one-year deal where it's possible, Teague, Sean doesn't even mention this, that Grisham has another big year.
No, of course.
That's what if he gets 40 home runs this year?
Look, that's the ideal, and that's why you offer him the qualifying offer is simply if he gets the same season or better than he had a year ago after spending most of his career as not an elite hitter, not what we saw a year ago, always a above average defender, but not an elite hitter. If he can find a way to do both at age 29, then you might put yourself in better position to get to where you need to go.
Absolutely.
And you're less likely, even though there's no evidence empirical otherwise, but the young player at some point is going to go through what young players go through.
Right.
And you're less likely to get that with Trent Grisham as a veteran.
Two other players accepted the qualifying offer, which means they are no longer free agents. Gleyber Torres, the former New York Yankee. Could always trade Grisham to Detroit for Gleyber Torres. You want to do that? Bring him back. And then Brandon Woodruff, who I was intrigued by with the Milwaukee Brewers. He accepted the qualifying offer. So those three guys are going back to their teams. They are no longer free agents. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. Hey, Gabe.
Oh, God, I'm absolutely gutted right now. This kind of threw my call for a loop. Look, guys, I wanted to ask if you thought the Yankees were capped at $300 million in terms of payroll. And you guys haven't even mentioned how this is going to mess up with those plans. Like, I mean, $22 million right now, I think they're at 261 luxury tax payroll. It's going to put them at 281 after
Gabe,
that.
Gabe, I'm going to make a comment you're not – I know Sean won't agree with. I'm curious if you will. I believe that if the New York Yankees made the qualifying offer to Trent Grisham, they knew there was a chance he would accept it. And if they knew there was a chance he would accept it, they played that in their game of we're willing to go over that number. Because there's no way they would just lock in $22 million to Grisham with a hard number of 300. So it would actually make me feel good that the Yankees are committed to spending.
Here's my reason why I don't believe that.
Go.
Unfortunately, under Hal Steinbrenner's reign for the last, 10 years as a Yankee fan, this feels like an opportunity for him to use it as a cop-out, to be like, well, actually, we were really looking forward to spending. Trent Grisham picked up the qualifying offer. We're really happy to have him back. We think we're going to run it back with a good team. But ultimately, we're committed to staying under, X amount of dollars, $310 million at the end of the day. That's going to be the number that they're going to stay under. I'm not optimistic. And the other thing, too, you guys are talking about trading him. No other team is going to help the Yankees out by helping them shave $22 million off their payroll.
They will if they need a center fielder.
Yeah, I think what Evan is saying is that if Trent Grisham is what we saw last year for the beginning of this year, that's what teams are going to want. They're going to want a veteran who's reliable, who is having a hot at-bat season, and then ultimately can be a winning player for you. Like, that's different. I mean, and he's also got an expiring contract, so it's not a long-term commitment. So that's what makes him valuable, but I think he's just as valuable to the Yankees. And I know why Sean is upset about this. He wants the young players to get an opportunity because you've heard year over year over year all these young kids coming up, and eventually you want to see that happen. But sometimes it doesn't. That's just the way it works in baseball. It's not guaranteed that you're going to get a spot on a major league roster, at least the roster that drafted you.
Got to earn it.
I know it's frustrating, but you got to earn it.
Got to earn it and got to leave no doubt sometimes as a young player.
Right.
Anthony is in Middle Village. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I want to talk about the, Kyle Tucker, Cody Bellinger, from even to Spencer Jones. Like, all these players are left-handed hitters. And Jace Dominguez is a switch hitter, but he hasn't really had the chance to develop to be even half the hitter from the right side. So from all these players, you're going to have, including what we have, Austin Wells, Ben Rice, Chisholm, you're going to have like 7-8 lefties, even McMahon. I don't even think he's going to be a Yankee this year.
But you know why that wouldn't scare me overall? Let's take Cody Bellinger as an example, because I think you included him in that list as a guy that they could bring back. Last year, Cody Bellinger hit 100 points higher against left-handed pitching. He had an OPS that was 260 points higher against left-handed pitching. So if you're a lefty, but you also hit lefties, what's the big deal?
Right. There is no big deal. The matchups don't matter.
And I also think that Yankee Stadium is still a place, even as the new Yankee Stadium, where you'd still prefer to be a tad more left-handed than right-handed. And oh, by the way, until further notice, Aaron Judge, one of the most fearsome right-handed sluggers, is still on your team, as is Giancarlo Stanton. So despite all the lefties that you speak of, and they are very left-handed, you got some pretty good balance in the middle of that order. Let's go to John in Massbeth. Hey, John.
This moron, Brian Cashman, is an idiot. He bit off more than he could chew. He read the wrong cards. Now he's got to deal with this one-hit wonder, overpaid bum now, Trent Grisham, $22 million, with a couple more million dollars, with a Captain Tony Bellinger. Now he got to hear how Steinbrenner got to the damn pennies. Oh, payroll, payroll, what's the debt? We got Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole in their goddamn prime, and we're wasting it with Trent Grisham. No! You moron, Brian Cashman! I don't know.
All right, thank you, John.
No biggie.
Wow.
No biggie.
Call of the year from John and Maspeth.
Somebody check on John.
Wow. Yeah. That was something.
That was, it made me feel a little better because I'm not as angry as that. Just real quick, Evan, I'm getting some conflicting reports here. You had mentioned this. The guys who accept the qualifying offer get a pseudo no trade clause attached to this. Is that true?
What does that involve?
I think you have until a certain date over the summer before the no trade gets lifted.
What, June 15th?
Yes.
I wouldn't be worried about that.
Mm. I mean, that involves not trading him before the season, like you alluded to.
Wait, no trade clause? You can't trade him till June 15th.
No,
when you sign a free agent.
Okay.
When you sign a free agent, you can't trade that player till June 15th. I don't think that's the case with the qualifying offer.
Okay.
If I'm wrong,
I'm trying to find this in the rules. I can't find it hard. And
yeah, I'm not. I don't think that's the case. I think that when you sign a free agent, yes, it's until June 15th. Like in the NBA, it's until December 15th. You can't trade a player.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that when a player accepts the qualifying offer, that rule does not apply. So if I'm wrong, though, let me know. I don't think I am. Sean looks very confused. It's like smoke is coming out of his head.
It feels like it's a nebulous rule. Like it doesn't have a clear definition. I'm sure it does somewhere, but it's not widely known what the real definition is.
Well, I just want to get the real definition. That's why I was asking Evan if he came across this in his RICO notes, because if that's the case, well, it kind of debunks a lot of what Evan was saying.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of the
you're right. Absolutely it does. But you got to tell me if it's true or not.
I know. I'm doing my best to go. That's why I figured I'd ask you, because you feel like the brains behind the operation. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, if you know. You potentially have read this CBA.
Yeah, I've tried to.
I swear. Maybe this is where I trust Evan sometimes too much on the rule.
I know that Sean has never picked it up. Nobody else in this room has even picked it
up. The last book I read cover to cover was a Goosebumps book.
Well, get the information then before
you say
it's wrong or right.
Well, you just bragged that you did a RICO where you went in depth on a qualifying offer. So I think it's fair,
Sean,
for me, as I'm doing a research,
Sean,
and I can't find it, to ask you.
Sean, I've got to tell you something, and I hope this doesn't disappoint you greatly. And I hope it doesn't disappoint the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect. Is it possible?
We're not asking you to be perfect.
Well,
we're
seems
just
like
asking you to know whether or not when you sign the qualifying offer, you can be traded.
I thought that you could. And until you tell me otherwise, I will still believe that.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying the reason I asked before I go deeper on what I saw.
Call Major League Baseball and ask them.
Sure, 1-800-MLB? What's the number?
I don't know. Call someone who kisses Major League Baseball's ass or something.
I got you.
I don't know. You have Craig's number one, Chester.
I do have Craig's.
I got it. I'll get it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Andre in Connecticut. What's up, Andre?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This Trent Grisham news is great because he signed for $22 million, and that's Juan Soto's number. So that's the first thing I wanted to say.
Very nice.
Very nice.
The second part is, and it was kind of addressed to Tiki, We're getting mad at Cam Stadabu for living life as a young adult. And I think the bigger picture in the NFL this weekend was you got a grown man spitting on another human being.
Right.
And he gets a 1-day suspension.
Right.
But yet society talks about a young kid. And my third point I want to get in real quick was, Evan, I agree with you. We can't trade Nimmo. the only way you could trade this guy is in a package deal, and you're eating up most of the contract. And the only thing I can think of is something like Nimmo, Vientos, and Sproat for like Alcantara or Hunter Green. I'll listen to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I just don't see why teams shedding payroll like Miami or Cincinnati would want to do that. My issue with trading Brandon Nimmo is not about an emotional attachment to him. It's I don't see realistically where shedding a contract of a 33-year-old player making $20 million a year is going to get you a return that makes you better. Mm. Like, the only argument you could make is that you'll save enough money to then reinvest the money in a different player, which is probably another person in their 30s that you're giving a long-term contract to.
Yeah.
And so that's why I hear the idea of the Mets are open to trading Brandon Nimmo, and I struggle to find a deal that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know if there's, because where does he want to go? And that would be the hard part, because now you're trying to negotiate with Brandon Nimmo to pick some place he'd rather play when he probably wants to stay here and be a Met.
Right.
And so it really doesn't make sense. To your other point, we discussed this. Get off Cam Scataboo's back. He did nothing wrong. He's having fun. He's a young kid. And he's IR for the rest of the season. He's not playing. He's not going to get hurt. He was protected. He said so. With the Ja'Marr Chase thing, it's interesting how the NFL doles out these suspensions for things like that, because, I mean, it is utter and gross disrespect, gross in both ways, but it's also just the moment. It's not a definition of who he is as a player. This is not like Vontaze Burfict. Remember that kid?
Yeah.
From the Cincinnati Bengals?
Cost the Bengals a playoff game.
Who was literally trying to take people's heads off.
Yes.
And it legitimately hurt another player. Guys like that can't be in the league. Someone who gets pissed off because something that the Pittsburgh Steelers said and he allegedly spits at him, whatever. You take your one-game suspension, come back.
I think that
be better.
You're allowed to have, obviously there are certain things that are unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge that. But I think you're allowed to have a moment of weakness.
Yes.
You're allowed to have a moment of...
And we don't know what the conversation was then.
Right.
And it probably wasn't just that moment. It was probably festered for a while.
Yes.
So
it doesn't make me...
It doesn't bother me.
...the person that different. I remember when Robbie Alomar had that incident with the umpire, which felt like the ultimate in disrespect, right? Because he spit at an umpire, and then the umpires refused to, like, umpire playoff games. It was a whole big thing. That really stuck with Roberto Alomar for a long time. And as time passed, you realize the man made a mistake.
Right.
I mean, I'm more bitter about Roberto Alomar sucking as a Met than I am that one moment of weakness. So I think you're allowed to have that. Certain things maybe not quite forgivable, but something like that is just, it's a mistake one can move on from. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. First of all, Evan, you sound very randy today as well as baseball talk. But just really quick, you know, with the Giants, I actually thought the Scataboo stuff was awesome. I really enjoyed watching it. But it does, like, I just wonder, Tiki, if other team stars are putting themselves in such a public eye as the Giants. Like, you think about Malik Nabers when he had that concussion. He was seen at a concert the following day. And, again, his free time, you know, I'm sure he was fine being there. But the optics of it, like Evan said, it just seems like the biggest names on the Giants are always finding ways to put themselves in this spot to be criticized, even if it's not warranted.
Yeah, but, I mean, ultimately, here's what matters. How good of a player are you, and are you helping your team be good? Because we are not, meaning New York Giant players, are not like Green Bay Packer players. They are not like, I don't know, Tennessee Titan players. Because in New York, it is the amount of things you can get yourself into, and I'm not talking about bad, I'm just saying opportunities to see things that most people don't and experience a big city life that most people don't have access to, it's amazing. I mean, I lived in the city when I was playing, so I did all of these things, and it led to this career. Like, my second career has been twice as long as my first career, and if I had got drafted by Green Bay like I thought it was going to be, I wouldn't be doing it. And so you take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you. And I've always said this to kids when I talk to them, young players, that opportunity might not come again. So be careful before you say no. And I think that's all Cam Scataboo is doing. This is different than, I think, Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers just went to a concert. And who cares? This was like set up by MSG and WWE. So this was a little bit of a different type of situation for Cam. He was part of the show.
Keep in mind, so when we talked about this yesterday, we talked about how loud Madison Square Garden can be, and that was the controversy around Nabers that he went to a concert in concussion protocol and how loud it is and how it may not be good for his head. Jackson Dart is still in concussion protocol, and we speculated, hey, you think Jackson Dart will be there? Jackson Dart was not there.
Mm-hmm. I got business.
Yes.
Got better things to do.
He also heard about that shock jock radio host who went ape bleep on Zach Wilson for going apple picking with his girlfriend and said, I can't have that happen to me.
Nope.
So I'm working hard. I'm working diligently, and I will not show up to Monday Night Raw.
Dart picks his apples in the supermarket.
That's right.
Bottom line. Real quickly, I don't know if Tiki's heard an answer. I'm getting frustrated. This is where AI sucks.
No, you can't trust AI.
Here's the answer.
Yes, they are treated like free agents in that regard.
I've read that as well through AI, that when you accept the qualifying offer, it's like signing as a free agent, which would mean you cannot be traded till June 15th. But I haven't confirmed it anywhere else.
I just confirmed it.
From MLB?
Yeah, that they're treated like free agents.
From MLB? Or from AI?
No, not AI.
From MLB?
This is a person.
A person from MLB said, you are ineligible to be traded until June 15th.
Yes. They're treated like free agents.
Okay, then I trust you. So Trent Grisham cannot be traded until June 15th.
Yeah, great. So where was your five-minute preamble? It's a good game. Look what they can do in March.
I said it was one of the options. Obviously,
it might just be before the deadline. It's fine.
Obviously, it's not one of the options. But I still think, and I remember saying this to you when he accepted it, and I'm about to find out if I'm right or wrong over the next few months.
When he accepted it 7 minutes ago?
I apologize. When they gave it to him, because you and I were on the air that day, and I was a proponent before they gave it to him that they should. Sean says they shouldn't. So we've been very consistent on this issue. And what I said to you was, if they offer it to him, they have a willingness to spend money.
Yeah.
Because they know he may accept it.
Yeah. It's also, your point is not invalidated because he can't be traded until the 15th of June. Because if one of these kids, whether it's Jason Dominguez or whoever, is in the conversation, it's likely not going to happen in spring training, right? It's going to be prove it over 2-3 months of the year. And then at some point before the trade deadline, this kid shows, I deserve to be your everyday center fielder.
Right.
Jason Dominguez, by late May, I deserve to be your everyday center fielder. In the next couple of weeks, Trent Grisham could get moved. And before the trade deadline, after June 15th, it'll be in the works. It'll happen. It's not moot because...
No, it's still a possibility, but it's not, in fairness, the way I described it, which is a team who needs a center fielder, including the Mets, could say, oh, I'll trade for him.
Yes.
I didn't want to give up a draft pick. Obviously, that is not the case, according to MLB sources.
But it could still happen before the trade deadline.
Correct. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. And even in a loss last night, I have more evidence and confidence that Mike Brown truly is the right guy for this job. We'll explain why. The Knicks did lose last night. And look, I don't want to sugarcoat it. You lose to a rival, you're pissed. You lose to the Miami Heat, you're not happy, especially the closing few seconds of this game. But there was something I learned after the game that made me feel even more, I guess, confident in Mike Brown.
What is that?
Ownership. Because what I believe is important is to own your mistakes.
What did he say? Should have taken a three instead?
No. He actually owned something that I forgot about. Because I was watching the game, because Clyde was back. And, oh, boy, did he look good. And he had some funny lines in there. It was just a great Clyde night. And as you may recall, late in the first half, Mike Brown issued a challenge. Mm-hmm. He lost that challenge because Josh Hart's a big whiny baby. And Mike Brown, unprovoked, after the game, when kind of recapping went wrong, said this about that decision.
I didn't help him out. It was a bad challenge, but I did. I got to be better just as much as I'm telling those guys to be better. It was a bad challenge just from the simple fact that I couldn't help him in the second half with it because I had blown it in the first half. So I have to be better in that area.
Wow, accountability from a head coach in this town?
Huh.
Are you kidding?
not only take accountability.
Answering the question, like, straight up?
Here's the best part. No one asked him a question.
Wow. So he brought it up on his own?
Yes!
That's how you get in front of a story. That is PR 101. Because once you make it a non-story, it is not a story.
You're right. It's something that Abdul Carter and the Giants could learn from. Mm-hmm. I remember watching the game. And sometimes when I'm watching a game, I like write something down in case I want to bring it up on the air. And so I was literally about to write down, this is a stupid challenge. I don't like this challenge. Mm-hmm. And then I decided not to write it down because I was like, I'm never going to talk about this on the air. This is such a waste of time. This isn't a playoff game.
But then he brings it up and then it like sparked your memory.
Yes. And I'm like, he's right. Now, just to remind you, because it is so forgettable, they're up by two with 3 minutes to go in the first half. And Josh Hart was called for an offensive foul. It was like a moving screen. Mm. And was it probably a bad call? Yeah, but Mike Brown hit on it. That's not the point. The point wasn't that it was a bad call and it should have been overturned. It was, why risk it in the first half of a game on a foul call that's really going to have no impact on the result?
Yeah,
that's the point. Because even though they should have overturned it, what was the big deal?
Now, what is it? How does it work in the NBA from a coach challenging standpoint? Is it his gut only? Because in football, because we had this with Mike Kafka this past weekend, it comes from a majority, like multiple people.
Well, I think there's a few variations of this. I'll walk you through last night. So Josh Hart started screaming like a baby because, you know.
Stop. He's not a baby.
Listen, my coach, Mike Brown,
he's got a very cute baby, though.
He's got an adorable kid. I agree. But Mike has even said the Knicks whine too much to the officials. That's not me talking. That's my head coach. Your head coach.
He actually said that, too.
He did that a few days ago. I'm telling you, when we talk Knicks, we just update you on what Mike Brown says. Because honestly, that's the most important thing. These games aren't the end of the world.
And he's hitting on anything that we could be upset about.
Oh, my God. He's hitting it out of the ballpark. So Josh Hart's whining. Okay? He's crying. Foul. Mike listens. He says, okay, Josh is whining. He then looks back at some of his assistants who are checking out the replay. And then Brown has that chance before it's inbounded. What do I do?
Right.
He then at the very last second says, I'm challenging. Timeout, I'm challenging. And so it's a combination of believing your player, but also listening to your staff. But here's where Mike was so spot on. It's not about that. Mm. It's about the moment. Once you lose a challenge in the NBA, it's gone. Why are you using it with 3 minutes to go of a two-point game in the first half? And by the way, well, it's a foul, Evan. Momentum. It was his first foul.
Momentum.
Nah. Come on.
You asked the question. Why? I'm just trying to give you a possible thought of why.
I think there are certain situations specifically where I'd say, okay, first half, maybe I issue the challenge. Like if it was the fourth foul on one of my best players. Like a real BS foul on Cat.
Yeah.
Sure. But not this spot. And that's what I loved about it, because I agree with him. I'd have a rule, and I have this rule as a basketball fan, so I scream at Jordy all the time, even though their games don't matter. I would not challenge in the first half. Like, I think it's stupid. Mm. It takes a really unique situation. So I love the fact that he called himself out about it. Man, you're going to call your players out. I think you got to call yourself out. And I could see it in your eyes as a former player.
Yep.
You love that.
I do. Accountability is what it's all about, especially with the media in this town, because this is the... We've talked about this already multiple times, but the whole Abdul Carter thing, when you get ahead of the story, it makes it a one-day story as opposed to a multiple-day story or a narrative that persists for a week or two or even more. And unfortunately for Abdul Carter, this is going to be part of the conversation around him until people forget about it.
You nailed it, and it's part of the reason why I think this was a big deal to bring up. Mm. Mike Brown, not that the challenge was going to be a big story, but... small thing could be a big thing.
Right.
This is the playoffs. It's a bigger story.
There's 82 games in basketball, so this is not going to be an issue unless it's a recurring issue.
Right, and you're hoping that based on him realizing this early in the season, it's not going to be an issue. But look at the Abdul Carter situation, and I'm going to blame Abdul Carter and Mike Kafka. I blame both of them. Mike Kafka sits him for the opening drive. After the game says, that's between me and Abdul. Mm-hmm. Abdul says after the game, not going to say a word. Then the leak comes out that he fell asleep.
Yeah.
Then Abdul goes to Twitter to say, I didn't fall asleep. Then he deletes the tweet. And then yesterday says this to ESPN. And it's a great statement, but to me it's like 24 hours too late. Quote, my mistake was an honest mistake. I own the fact that it was an honest mistake. I was getting treatment, and I told Coach Kafka that too. But to say I was sleeping at the time wasn't true. And it also wasn't a trend. This was the only time it happened. Mm. If he said on Sunday... Here's what happened. I made an honest mistake, and I missed a practice or a walkthrough.
Walkthrough.
I don't know if it ever excels to falling asleep and it becoming a trend. By putting a pin in it, by not saying a word and not getting ahead of the story, you allowed the story to manifest, and now all he's trying to do is put the thing back in the tube.
Now, I'm trying to think if Mike...
Toothpaste in the tube. Thank you.
What did he say?
I didn't say anything. I said the thing back in the tube.
Said put the thing back in the tube.
Put it back in your pants. Put the toothpaste in the tube.
Now, let's just replay this in a different way.
Yes.
If Mike Kafka, after the game, when that question is asked, had simply said he was late for a walkthrough and there are consequences for your actions with this team, is this a story?
I don't think so.
I agree.
Because I think it forces the writers to not delve in and get more leaks on
and
it,
then,
I think.
And then start making up things. So when you don't give a real answer, you create a void to get filled by nonsense.
Yes.
And so there are, I'm sure, conversations about Abdul Carter around this team, and people hear things from one person or another, and the next thing you know, that must have been it. Until somebody writes that.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So it's just what's it called? What's the whisper thing? That whisper game you play?
Telephone.
It's telephone.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it gets done, it gets reported, and it's wrong.
Sean Morris, are you proud of me? I did something that would make you proud.
Okay. You had a brown fudge Cliff Bar?
I talked about the Knicks and Mike Brown and somehow brought it back to the Giants.
Ah, you're very good at that.
You're turning into Sean.
I am. I do want to compliment Mike Brown. Look, last night sucks, but I think what we need to realize through basketball season is these losses, no biggie. Mm. These wins, no biggie.
Well,
though there is one factoid I'd like to say.
Road loss?
And then as soon as I give the factoid, I'm sorry, Tommy, I want to go right to the calls.
We're going to do this bit again. Fine, give it to me. What have the Nets done on the road?
I'm going to make the factoid, then we're going to the calls. The Knicks have zero road wins. Okay. The Nets have
two road wins.
Is this the second time they've played Chicago?
Miami. Yes, twice in Miami.
Yeah.
They've played them three times. They've lost twice in Miami, and they beat them once at home.
Correct.
Three times already.
Right.
So, yeah, just an interesting factoid. Not only does Justin Fields and Jackson Dart have the exact same completion stats, but I see that one in there. But the Nets have two road wins, and the Knicks have zero. Let's go to Steve in Colonia. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, guys. I'm a 69-year-old guy, Giant fan forever. Been to multiple games. Used to go to Lawrence Taylor's bar in Jersey.
Nice.
Just listen to me for 1 second. The thing with this wrestling thing is it's not about what he did or anything. It's we're tired of, like, one-hit wonders. Like, remember the Tommy DeVito, the lasagna, and all this stuff? I just want a guy to play football. I just want him to play football. He hasn't done enough. He had three or four good games. He got hurt.
But that makes
when
you
I got
so
hurt in the Marines, when I got hurt in football, I played football all my life. So I was 35 years old. I tried to get on the NFL team. When I got hurt, I felt I left people down. I let them down. I didn't go out and make a freaking show of it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. You know what the theme, thank you, Steve, appreciate you, of his call is?
Yeah.
Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is why it's hard to be a rookie. Because sometimes you get hurt and you don't realize the importance of your absence. And I think Cam Scataboo's absence has particularly hit this team because he was the energy.
He was. And I read his tweet earlier, but if you didn't hear it, there's two sentences in it that I think will impact you. Remember, he's a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if you don't like that I'm having a good time while dealing with a tough time, then just go ahead and unfollow me and casually move on. I'm not able to play football and have fun that I've been able to do my whole life. So I'm doing things outside the box to try to find stuff to keep me happy. That is an important line because what he's telling you is, guys, I'm freaking depressed that I can't play football. It sucks.
And by the way, that's
I
real.
Can't play football. It's very real.
Right.
So when I'm streaming about video games or going to UFC or going to Raw, understand I'd rather be playing football.
He's but not I'm streaming about video games. He's streaming about how do you eat your taco.
While playing a video game.
Do you eat your taco like this?
Right.
Or do you turn your head and eat the taco? Do you let the taco dominate you by turning your head?
It's a great question.
Or do you dominate the taco and eat it the right way?
That's right.
Taco dominates me all day long.
100%. Because I don't want to spell the taco.
No doubt.
I've never thought
I'm
about
a tacos,
what I
eat. Bitch. You're not spilling on me.
I almost have to eat a taco now just to see what I do with the taco.
I honestly couldn't think of the last time I had a taco like that.
Yeah.
And what I do to eat it.
Well, also hard and soft matters. A soft taco, you don't have to turn your head because it wraps up. The hard taco is open-ended. You got to turn your head.
And that was a question, as Tiki alluded to, that Cam asked on social media.
Yeah, it went a little viral.
He's trying to get through a very tough time. I think he took that injury harder than every single person listening.
I mean, he's been playing football his whole life, basically.
Right.
And all
right.
of a sudden, you're not doing it. When you're injured, you're around the team because you got to go in and treatment. You see the guys, and it is, but you're not part of the team. It's really hard to be on IR.
No, I agree. Team Scat, baby. Team Scat. Let's go to Jesse and Hopewell. What's up, Jesse?
Hey,
unfortunately, Jesse, I'm going to put you on hold. If the line clears up, we'll put you back on, but we couldn't hear you. Mike is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Evan and Tiki? How's everything, guys?
Good. All's well.
Let me ask you something. What is wrong with Cashman, really? I mean, why do we sign in Trent Grisham for $22 million? Like, really? Let me ask you a question, Evan. You are the baseball savant there, aren't you, the maven?
I guess.
Come on, Evan.
Okay.
Come on,
the question? I'll answer
so here's
it.
My question.
Yes.
In all the, we've been hearing about Jason Dominguez since he's been an embryo, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let me ask you. So here's my question to you. Did anything ever come up that he was a bad center fielder for the New York Yankees before he got called up? Because I remember 3 years ago when he got called up in Houston, he played pretty flawlessly in center field and there were no issues. Correct?
Yeah.
So why can't... Well, yes, it was. Come on, give me a break.
Because
let me
ask
you another question.
I'll answer the question, though, because he's not as good defensively as Trent Grisham. He's not as good defensively as Cody Bellinger. That's a fact. Now, the decision the Yankees are going to make now is on opening day, depending on how guys play in spring training and who's on this roster, who gives them the best chance to win? If Trent Grisham gives them the best chance to win, incorporating the fact that he is a better defender than Jason Dominguez,
right,
much to the chagrin of you or Sean, he'll play. When he doesn't give them the best chance to win, I don't care that he's making $22 million a year. I don't think he will play. But it's imperative for Dominguez to perform. It's imperative for Spencer Jones to perform. They're going to get the opportunities to grab that job away and take it. But they have to perform. It isn't going to be handed to them. And I know what your response is going to be. What about Volpe? What about Volpe? What about Volpe? I'll give you the answer that you're not going to like. There were crappier options. There weren't good options. Part of why Volpe kept the job, Teak, is because they had no option to replace him with.
Right. The definition of insanity is what, right? Slamming your head into the whatever the definition is, you know what I mean.
Doing the same thing
over and over again, expecting a different result.
You can insert the different.
That's a cliche, but whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. The point is, the Yankees do this all the time, and the one thing we know.
I think insanity is actually something much different than that. But keep going.
Keep going. Trent Grisham is not going to fall off a cliff defensively. He's going to give you the same smooth defense, just like Alex Verdugo gave you good defense.
If he's hitting 190, he'll be benched, bro.
No, he will not.
Yes, he will. Oh,
and bench for what? For 2 weeks of Dominguez before he struggles?
Verdugo wasn't. That's what Sean's point is.
Yes, like every
year. How about Trent Grisham in 2024 when he hit 190? Did he play every day, Sean?
He wasn't an everyday player yet.
So what makes him an everyday player now if he's not hitting?
He's making $22 million.
Yes, he's making $22 million, and the Yankees exhaust all options when paying people. They never flush money down and admit.
Except when they DFA DJ LeMahieu, right?
It took him 3 years to do that, Evan. How dare you? Come on, man. What are we doing here? They give these veterans every damn chance while diluting these young guys, and then at the same time, they never trade any of them when they actually need these other pieces in World Series runs. Grisham, they're ass backwards, dude. I'm tired of it.
Grisham's on a one-year deal. You're talking about DJ with 4 years left on a contract.
Holy crap, he's playing.
Yeah, but if DJ could have played third, they wouldn't have DFA'd him.
Well, but he couldn't.
I know.
So they DFA'd him and he couldn't hit.
He self-identified as not being able
to. Okay. Well, I'm answering his question because he said, when do they pay guys to go away? Okay. I just gave you an example and he got mad at me.
Tiki's an
athlete. Josh Donaldson, you want another example?
Okay, Tiki's an athlete. How are young guys supposed to get better when they've already proven at the minor league level unless they play? Because Jason Dominguez...
Perform when you get a chance to play. Jason Dominguez didn't.
Every time Jason Dominguez played and he got hot for two games at leadoff, they went back to the stupid platoon stuff. And they said, well, he can't hit from the other side of the plate. Well, whose fault is that? Because he doesn't get a chance to hit his way into that.
Yeah, and they didn't send him down. So the only way he's going to learn how to do that is by going down and playing every day. And they never did.
Yeah. The Yankees are caught in an in-between on, we have an aging Judge, an aging Cole, and we want to go all in with veterans. But at the same time, they want to, like, hug these young guys, but not actually fully give them a chance
but
to play.
I'm going to defend the Yankees here for a second. Because the Yankees, and Jeter said this in CC's Hall of Fame, whatever, intro piece, that the Yankees are one of the few teams that are in the, like, path to win something every single year. It is not a, yeah, we'll see what happens, and then... If we get knocked out in the divisional round, it is what it is. It's all good. We'll come back and get them next year. That is not okay for the Yankees. And so they're going to play the veterans because they believe it gives them a better chance to win it all. Because that's what their goal is. It's not to get to the ALC. Oh, we got here. Good job, man. Except those, you know, runner-up rings. That's not what they want. They want to win a championship, and you just have more trust in a veteran player to do that than a young player.
I'm going to make you a long-term bet right now on November 18th. And we have to agree that the bet goes away if one of the players is traded, obviously.
Okay. Yeah?
Jason Dominguez will play more games for the New York Yankees next year than Trent Grisham.
And it goes away if the player's traded?
If Dominguez is traded before the season, I'm not going to take an L. Like, if he's traded for Stephen Kwan.
So you mean both are on here from April to...
Well, here's what we know. Here's what we know. Trent Grisham, according to a Major League Baseball worker... Mm. Can't be traded till June 15th. So Trent Grisham is going to be on this team to start the year. We know that. Dominguez probably, but could be traded. Could be in a deal for Sandy Alcantara. Could be in a deal for Stephen Kwan. Assuming he is not traded in some other package, they are both eligible to make the team for March 25th in San Francisco. Okay, so Dominguez is not traded. Jason Dominguez will end up playing more games this season than Trent Grisham.
I'll take that deal. I know the Yankees better than you.
Okay.
You think Trent Grisham is playing more?
Based on the salary he's making, yep.
All right.
And all while the Yankees, you know, 2 years ago can't trade one of these guys for Tanner Scott and actually try to win a World Series.
I'm gonna say that's also true because I think Trent Grisham's going to have a good year.
All right, so you guys are against me. We'll see what ends up happening. It's a long-term bet from November 18th.
Tommy, you got input here?
I do. I'm on your side, Teak, with Sean.
All right. Everybody against me. Me versus the world. I'll take it. More of your calls coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot of strong opinions on the Trent Grisham decision, as well as Cody Bellinger versus Kyle Tucker, as well as Cam Scataboo embarrassing the New York Giants by being on Monday Night Raw last night. But when we come back, a caller-driven Cinco de Fivo, ranking the best rookies in all of New York sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.